St. John-based documentary photographer Chris Donovan's new book, The Cloud Factory, is published this month, documenting the close proximity of wealth and poverty found in the city and the intersection of industry and community. Earlier this month, the New York Times featured an article about the city of St. John and the Irving family, featuring Donovan's images. Donovan's images have appeared previously in the New York Times, as well as numerous other publications, including the Globe and Mail and the Washington Post. Local 107.3 FM spoke with Donovan about the book and his ongoing work to document life in the city of St. John and beyond.
The story was set to run in March 2020. And then obviously the pandemic happened, and because it wasn't breaking news by then, it was already going to be a feature story. And the story kept getting pushed and pushed for years. And then finally the book was set to come out and the New York Times didn't want to get scooped by a photo book because that seemed ridiculous. So they were kind of forced to run it before the book publishes, which is happening in 10 days or 11 days from now is the official book publication date. In 2018, when the neighborhood over by Pleasant City Street was bulldozed after a butane leak, I started photographing down there. And it was kind of quiet. The neighborhood was kind of quietly removed. There wasn't much media about it. And the people who had their houses bought out had allegedly signed NDAs and didn't want to talk to media. So I started talking to people who lived in houses around there that weren't bought out. What I like about photography is that it's a medium that doesn't tell you things. It shows you things and lets you kind of interpret. And it's not like forcing issues down your throat. It's like, here's what I'm seeing, here's what you might not be seeing in your community, and what I think people should have some kind of understanding about. As I gained more understanding about the world and moved away and started working for bigger newspapers and outlets, I started to like understand the links between industrialization, monopolized economies, and the experience of childhood poverty and poverty generally, and the more specifically, like the disparity of wealth that exists in St. John, where you have one of the richest area codes in the country and one of the poorest, about a 10-minute drive from one another, which I find unacceptable. So I wanted to do something about it, and I started photographing. It's about starting conversations, I hope. You know, we live in a place where the kind of conversations that are had around environmental disaster and consequence for the sake of quote unquote progress and growth are spoken about in whispers, partly because it's company town. And I mean, a lot of my research, I'm also an academic, like a PhD student, a lot of my research is about the realities of company towns and monopolized economies. This is not like a exceptional thing in St. John. Like the company towns have this kind of culture. It's not uncommon. But what I really want out of it, like I'm not naive enough to think that pictures are going to change people's mind. I don't think that they're good at doing that. There are some like kind of iconic photographs, I think, that have the possibility to make change. But what I'm interested in doing is like making a body of work where the photographs speak to one another and create some kind of visual narrative as a whole. What I hope that they do is act as kind of a counterballast in the archive. So when you think like photographs, vernacular material, signs, books, these things like end up creating our history. And when we look back, these materials are what we use to determine what life was like at a particular time. And so the reason it's a book is that I want it to exist in that archive so that you won't be able to look back at this time and say, everybody loved the Irvings. I think there's always a new thing. And it's not always the Irvings either. Like we live in, like remember we had the AIM explosion and we weren't supposed to eat our vegetables. Like this is, I think it's important when I talk about this that I'm not just like here to hate on the Irvings. Like I'm here to talk about capitalist extractive industrial economy and its consequences. I want to talk about our responsibility to our environment, to where we live, to the place that kind of feeds us. You know, there's this saying that like what we do to the environment, we do to ourselves.
anything that happens in this area, we are putting into our body. You know, it's like we're breathing it in St. John. Like there are consequences to these actions. One of the few places left that references the indigenous name of the river, the Wollastoq, the beautiful river. And it's kind of like symbolic that this place is now in this battle of, and you know, like a parking lot doesn't seem like a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but it also touches on a feeling that St. Johners have, right? Like at some point there's going to be a straw that breaks the camel's back. You know, when I started having this conversation really in 2014, it felt like we weren't too far. And now it feels like we're really seeing the economic consequences of industrialization broadly across Canada. So yeah, I don't know if there's a point to the work anymore like there once was, you know, and that's kind of a difficult place to be in as someone who's like making the work where it's like, oh, I thought this could maybe be like a warning, and now maybe it's just like pictures of a city, and maybe that's fine too, you know.
I'm going to go back to the question about the book and about the title, Cloud Factory. Can you tell me a little bit about where that title came from?
Yeah, so there's like a little mini poem in the beginning of the book that reads, when I was a child, I looked up at the smokestacks and I asked my father, do they make all the world's clouds? No, he replied, they make money. And that's from, you know, a memory I had as a child. I think I was going to like a hockey game or something as a kid, driving over the bridge, looking at the pulp mill. And it's funny, it's like a very common this kind of like child innocent belief that they're just making clouds is held in a lot of industrial communities. I've heard people in Hamilton tell me they thought that as a kid. There's actually an artist-run center in Corner Brook called the Cloud Factory that references the pulp mill there. Totally independently, they came up with that name. So it's like, you know, it's not a unique thought. And that's, I think, what's powerful about it is it like speaks to a kind of like naivety that we have as children. You know, I don't think that the book needs much text. Like there's an essay in the back by Alain Deneau, who's brilliant. He's a professor at Université de Moncton at the Sheboygan campus, and he writes mostly in French. So we translated one of his essays from one of his books called Bon de Calonne. The essay is called Irvingia, the colony that doesn't speak its own name. And it's again kind of a reference to the idea that this area was a kind of extractive colonial place. You know, a colonized place by the French and then the British. And then that tradition is then carried on by the Irving family and by other kind of extractive resource owning people. I mean, the book's coming out April 22nd, I believe, and it'll be in bookstores. I mean, the publisher is in the UK, so I made sure that they'd send some copies like to Indigo and that kind of thing here. You can find the book online. Hopefully, we'll do some book launches locally. And yeah, keep having the conversation, you know.
Donovan can be found at his website, chrisdonovan.ca, and more information about the Cloud Factory can be found at gostbooks.com. This is Ioniko for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.